Hey, Raymond here from the Beginner Photography Podcast, and in high school, I could never beat Derek at ping pong. Okay, let's get into today's interview.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast with Raymond Hatfield, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your photography skills. Raymond interviews the world's top photographers in their field to ask questions that will get you taking better photos today. Now, with you as always, husband, father, home brewer, LA Dodger fan, and Indianapolis wedding photographer, Raymond Hatfield.
Oh, welcome back to the Beginner Photography Podcast. I am Raymond, as always, your host, and guess what? Today we have something a little bit different. It is, it's now December here in, I guess everywhere. Yeah, it's December. Things are getting colder. It is winter time. I'm officially done with all shoots for the rest of the year, at least planned shoots so far. No more weddings, no engagements, nothing else for the rest of the year. So winter, I'm focused and I'm working on business and I'm getting stuff done, which is really, really, really exciting. But today's interview, let me take a step back. Last year, all of December, I had this informational series where I gave you guys information of things that I learned throughout the year, things that I plan on doing next year, things that you could do during this kind of off season to improve your photography. And this year, I'm doing the exact same thing. So this is the first, this is kind of like the segue into that, okay? So with it being December, this is the first interview of the year. And guess what? It is also episode number 125. Why is that important? Well, because that's my favorite number, 125. My birthday is January 25th, and so growing up, I always saw, whenever I would see 125, like, my brain just would make that connection, and therefore, it's my favorite number. So, you know, whatever, it's my birthday, who cares? So this is a big one. So I thought, you know, like, what can I do for episode 125? I kind of want to make it special, and I thought, you know what, I want to entertain questions from the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group. They are some of my favorite people in the entire world. I want them to be a part of this episode because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them. And which is really interesting because in the timeline of the podcast, I really started the group pretty late, which you'll hear in this interview. And I'm really, really, really glad that I did. So what I did was I reached out to the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook. Actually, I reached out to Carrie in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group because Carrie is like the group mom. She is like, she's very comforting and she's very helpful and she always wants to learn more, right? Like, I feel like she can't learn enough. She's really hungry to know as much as she can about photography. And she keeps everybody really motivated and excited to be in the group. And sometimes when I can't be in the group, she's there to help out. Everybody knows and loves Carrie. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to ask Carrie to come on and interview me for the podcast. And she agreed to do it. And this is that interview. So what she did was she asked the other members of the group for questions that they would want to ask me. And then this is that interview. We have those questions for you today. So this is one of my favorite episodes that I've ever done. And quick side note, it's very, very, very long. So I'm going to keep this as short as possible because Carrie and I just kept talking. We had a great conversation about everything, life, photography, who killed Tupac. So everything in here is it was just a fun conversation. So it's really long. It's not dedicated. It's not, I guess, specifically focused on photography. I'd say about 80% of it is. But I really hope that you enjoy this interview today with Carrie. But I want to share something real quick, okay? So I started a few months ago another podcast called the Beginner Photography Briefing. I'm sorry, the Daily Photography Briefing. Wow, I totally screwed that one up right there. So I started this daily podcast called The Daily Photography Briefing, and what it is just small, bite-sized clips of information about photography, from tips to business ideas to photo assignments to photo history and news. There's a ton of great information that I share, and it's not part of this podcast. It's, like I said, called The Daily Photo Briefing, and you can find that in iTunes, Spotify. I create it through Anchor. Really quick, 2 minute, 1 minute, 2 minute episodes every single day just to keep you motivated and to keep you going. Well, When I went to Iceland 2 months ago, I scheduled out a bunch of episodes and none of them posted. So throughout all of October, nothing came out. And I thought, oh, I got to restart this in November then, I guess. Well, I got busy in November and I have no other excuse aside from that. So nothing happened in November, but it is now December. It's December 3rd, if you're listening to this. We're back at it. You can hear today's daily photo briefing right now. Like I said, you can even ask your smart speaker. You can say, Alexa, launch daily photo briefing, and it will play. But if you don't have Alexa, Google Home, again, Google Play, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen. So listen to that. Keep going. Be motivated throughout the winter. Some of those photo assignments are my favorite. So I'm just going to leave it at that. We're going to get into today's interview with me, which is really weird to say, but it's hosted by our own in the Beginner Photography Podcast Group's Carrie Norris. Okay, so hold on. Before we get into that, Carrie asked me about my first session that I ever did. How did it go? How did I find them? How did I book them? How much, you know, did it cost? She asked those questions. So I went back through the archive to find that first session, and I shared the photos in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group. So if you want to see them, they're going to go live today if you're listening the day that this comes out. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, it's already in the group. So if you want to see those photos, if you want to see the lessons that I learned from that session and even like an example of some of my current work, then head over to Facebook and join the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group so you can check them out. All right. That's all that I got to say about that. We're going to get into this interview right now with Carrie Norris.
All right. This is Carrie Norris. I'm a member of the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group, and I've been listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast ever since when I first decided I had to take my DSLR out of automatic, after, by the way, going to China and taking photos in China without manual mode. Anyway, and I literally Googled beginner photographer, and this is what came up, and that's how I found the Beginner Photography Podcast, and then I found the Beginner Photography Podcast group, and here we are. And I joined back in December 2017. So today, as I think Raymond already said, we have a special interview. I have the honor of sort of representing the Beginner Photography Podcast group and interviewing Raymond. Let me do a little bit of the intro. I know everybody knows who Raymond is because you listen every week, but I'm going to say a little bit about who you are for me.
Let's do
it. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So, well, as everyone knows, Raymond is the host of the Beginner Photography Podcast, which is now on its 125th episode. This is the podcast that taught me aperture, ISO, shutter speed, white balance, the exposure triangle, like only this podcast. This is how I learned. Manual taught me to get out there and practice. It taught me about lighting, prompting. It taught me about photography business, all the different types of photography out there. It taught me about the journey that photographers go on and how to pick yourself up after like a crash and burn session or experience. You're also the creator of the Flash in a Flash online course, which, if I can make that plug, is an excellent course online. It's the way that I learned how to use a flash in manual mode, and I didn't know anything. I mean, you literally took me through taking the flash out of the box. Actually, you took me through ordering which flash to order, taking it out of the box.
Even the one step before that, yeah.
Yeah, putting the batteries in, you know, like, and then through this great course with all these examples and ways to use it creatively once I started to get a handle on it, and helped me so much in a wedding I photographed in a really dark venue, which would have been a complete disaster without flash. So, I mean, thank you so much. That's great from you. You're also the creator and the administrator of the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group, which now has almost 700 members, probably by the end of this week, I'm guessing, by next month for sure.
Oh, yeah, right? we'll have almost growing. 700 members by then. It's insane. It's growing so fast.
I know. It's a beautiful group. And I think like many beginner photographers like me and many of us listeners, we dabble in different Facebook groups. Your group is the group I go to for honest and safe feedback. And I really don't even know how to put into words how important that is. there. I don't know how often you see other groups, but I know that I can share a photo on the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group, and I can get real constructive criticism, and no one's going to be rude because you won't tolerate it. And I respect that. Yeah. It's a beautiful part of it, and it's created a very good community, a really real community, because we get, it's still real, it's just you can't be rude, and I love it. So thank you for that, because I know that takes time.
It's not me. It's you guys. I just made the group. You guys showed up, all right? You guys are the ones who are the great group members, so I deserve no credit for that. None. I've just kicked out a few people for being rude, but that's it.
Oh, well, Rock, keep doing that. But you're very humble, because I've seen you respond to rude comments before. Just kind of like, hey, we don't tolerate that. What were you trying to say? Can you say it in a different way type thing? So you, and it changes the feel. So in that group, I have learned since December 2017 all about composition, about perspective, which has been amazing. How to get real reactions from the kids or the couple or the people I'm photographing. You've taught me about good light versus bad lights as you've critiqued some of my photos. You've taught me about the golden hour. You've taught me how to fill the frame. You've specifically encouraged me to explore filling the frame in photography. You've helped me learn about focus, a continuing struggle for me, and I think many of us.
Me as well. It's lifelong. It's lifelong.
And it's going to stay that way. And you taught me how to shoot in the rain. One of my favorite random things, which I love.
You know what's funny? I still remember when I talked, I believe it was maybe it was Jason or maybe it was Michael in the group who posted a photo that something was being backlit. And I mentioned that that rain should be backlit and able to see it. And I remember your comment, because normally you post like very long and in-depth comments. And your one comment to that was like, oh, like suddenly it makes sense. And I knew right then that it's like something inside of you clicked, because that's all that you had to post to understand it. I'm so glad that you picked up on it. Are you ready to transform your love for photography into profit? Imagine capturing beautiful moments while bringing in a little extra money for your family each month. Sound too good to be true? With CloudSpot, it's not just a dream. Designed by photographers for photographers, CloudSpot simplifies your business. Effortlessly organize shoots, send professional contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and enjoy faster payment payouts with the lowest fees in the industry, including PayPal. Forget lost emails and messy spreadsheets. CloudSpot offers a streamlined workflow, letting you focus on the moment. And here is the clincher. Grab your free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com, and you'll get access to my personal wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires. So don't let uncertainty hold you back. Embrace the future of photography business management with CloudSpot Studio. Sign up at deliverphotos.com today and transform your passion into profit.
Yes, and then somebody else posted about covers for cameras. Like, I was like, what do I do if it's raining? Somebody else answered with a link to, like, a cover for a camera. So I got it, and then I just prayed for rain. And then I was super excited when it came. So, and one of my favorite photos of my son is because of what I learned at the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group. So,
perfect. That's what it's all about.
And it's awesome. I mean, really, I hope you know what you're doing for all of us out there. Like, it's kind of a thankless job in a way. Like, I just hope you know that you're creating this beautiful, safe community of people who are sharing together our art.
Well,
you know, we're learning.
I wasn't expecting any of this. I didn't think that this was going to be the Raymond show today. But I do appreciate that, and I'm glad that I just wanted to create the community that that I didn't have when I first started photography, and yeah. I'm glad that others out there are finding value in it. So thank you very much.
You're welcome, and it's, I'm sure, echoed by everybody else. In addition to all that great stuff, you are an Indianapolis wedding photographer, uh-huh. And also you photograph couples like when they're engaged before.
Yep, engagements.
Engagements, and you're the father of two, right? Charlie and
Parker.
Parker, I was going to say Peyton Parker, a boy and a girl. You're married to Stormy, right?
Yeah.
OB nurse. And you are a mentor to many of us.
Oh, jeez. I don't know how. I just ask the questions. I'm not a mentor.
Well, you are. So now I have the honor of asking you the questions that you ask, like, all the top photographers on your podcast, and we get to hear your answers, right?
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to live up to it because I interview great photographers, and here I am today. So let's do this.
All right, let's do it. So I would like to know, well, I think a lot of us listeners know that you got your start in photography through studying cinematography. Mm-hmm. I think we know that piece. What I'd like to know is, how did that move into photography, and specifically wedding photography? I know your journey is taking you further now, and I look forward to talking about that in a little bit. But first, you stepped from cinematography to wedding photography. Is that right?
Right, pretty much. So for those of you who don't know, I did go to school for cinematography, because in high school I just loved it so much. I loved making little videos with my friends. It was so much fun. It was like this interaction that we had together, and I would spend all of my weekends in the town's college library, because it was the only place that had a Mac that I could edit on, because I didn't have one at the time. And it was just this like joy and this passion that I got from, and it wasn't like the editing or the shooting itself, it was the sharing. The final videos in class that like really got me excited. So I just had this idea, I'm going to go to film school. This is going to be the best. So that's what I did. I packed up everything and I went to film school in LA, and it just wasn't for me. You know, I mean, it's fun. It's a very technically fun job. But I think when you transition from anything in high school to like a real world job, it's not, it loses some of its fun.
But oh, yeah.
The problem is that I was thinking that making films should only be fun, and that it shouldn't have been like a job. And making movies is not just for fun. Like, it's a business. It's a multi-million, maybe even billion-dollar a year business. And therefore, there's producers. There's people that you have to answer to for all the dumbest things. And I thought, like, some of these things that I was doing should have just been simple decisions. But instead, it was being turned into, like, meetings. And it just wasn't fun anymore. It just was not fun anymore.
So you actually did begin in the film industry.
Yeah.
Like, you went out there and started in the, like, post-college.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. Well, so right after I had graduated, I never, like, had business cards or anything printed up saying that I was a cinematographer, because it's very much a job where you start off at the bottom, right? You start off as a PA, you get people coffee. Yeah. Exactly. All about the connection. So you get people coffee, and then if somebody finds out that you're into cinematography, so they give you a camera assistant job, and then you go work with the camera assistant, and then you work your way up to a second AC, and you're like, this is so great. But when it came to that aspect, I did work a little bit. But once I had graduated film school, there was, and you can go back and look this up, it was the all of the writers, all the like union writers had went on strike. So therefore, nothing was being produced in Hollywood. Nothing. Like, everything was just like live action type stuff. Every like late night show was garbage because there was no writers. It was just like...
Oh, I think I remember this.
It was such a horrible time. Like, Leno, Conan, like, they all just had to get up and just hope for the best. And so therefore, nobody was working. So I wasn't working at that time either. And then right after they had resolved that, I thought, woohoo, work's going to start picking up again. But then all of the actors went on strike. So then even less was being produced. So I was like, that was like a whole year process after I had
already
graduated.
When was this? Like
2008. Earlier? It would have been 2008. So right then, 10 years ago, my goodness. So right then, it was like a full year of like not being able to work on anything except for like fun shorts with friends, and that's all that I was doing. So it was still fun, but it wasn't paying the bills. And then that's when I had a buddy who was one of my roommates. I had 11 roommates. He went out. He was a photographer. So I went out with him one day to a wedding, and suddenly there was nobody to answer to. I was completely in control of the camera again. I could create whatever it was that I wanted to create. And then when you gave it to the couple, once again, there was that joy of sharing something that you single-handedly created. And then I knew right then, it was like, this is the path that I want to follow. And then that's when I started to pursue that full time, like full steam ahead.
Oh, really? And so you stepped right into wedding photography. You didn't do like it was just straight into that great big and high pressure photography job.
Well, I think a lot of the pressure comes from, you know, like you only have one chance, you can only do this once or whatever.
Yeah.
But I already knew all the technical aspects of my camera. I knew how to expose a shot. So I thought in my head, arrogantly, like, how much harder could it be? Like, you know, I wasn't even thinking about capturing the right moments or doing it in a sort of documentary way to capture everything that happens on a wedding day. I was just like, yeah, I know how to expose film. I know that there's going to be a kiss. What else do I need to know? You know?
Okay.
And then just over time, I learned from some of my mistakes, I guess you could say.
Oh, sure.
And then
that's one of the best ways to learn.
Yeah, I completely agree.
It probably is the best way to learn.
100%. And then yeah. here I am today.
So how did you get your first clients then, after you went out and photographed with your friends?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's your question.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I should have thought about that before I agreed to
do it. Well, so you went out and you helped your friend take his photos.
Yeah.
And then when you decided you wanted to step in on your own, I mean, you're at this point, like, what, in your early 20s?
Yeah, I was almost 21. So at the time,
really young.
Yes, very young. So I at that time, could not afford my rent with my roommate. So I actually had to move back to Northern California where I grew up and move back in with my mom. Mm-hmm. And at that point, my now wife, she moved from Anderson, Indiana all the way to Northern California to live with me and my mom. Like, that sounds so ridiculous now, but she did it and we're still together. So it turned out great.
Awesome. Yeah.
But it wasn't until I moved to Northern California that I got myself a camera. And, I spent a lot of time just kind of exploring photography in general. So from when I shot those weddings with my buddy to the time that I actually like pursued a business, there was probably a 3-year gap, honestly, where like I wasn't shooting weddings, I wasn't shooting anything paid. So I moved back to Northern California with the goal of saving as much money as possible and then moving back to Los Angeles at the time. So I just had a camera since I knew that I wasn't going to be trying to establish a business there. I wasn't even trying, which I really should have been, but I wasn't even trying. So I was just shooting, once again, friends, family. And then at some point, my wife and I decided to move to Indiana. Once we moved here, I thought, okay, full steam ahead. I'm in a new location and I'm going to start pursuing photography full time. And my wife, she had a coworker who had had a child. I believe she was probably 2 or 3 at the time, and they wanted some family photos. So my wife was like, yeah, my husband will do them. He'd love to do them or whatever. So she emailed me, and I made the whole process like horribly complicated and like just too busy. I was like, you can have 19 minutes. It wasn't 19 minutes, but it was like, you can have 60 minutes, and I'll give you 10 photos edited, and I will give, you know, I was just making it way too terrible of a process and experience. And it was like $75. So she showed up and I took the photos, and the child was sick the whole time. I mean, just like snot running out the
really
nose. Terrible day. And I could tell.
And where were you shooting? Like outside or in your home?
No, it was outside. But so we lived in an apartment complex when we first moved here. And the apartment complex had like a little lake out front of it and like some picnic tables. And I thought, yeah, this would be a good place, you know, have them sit on the picnic tables and get some shots. I still have those photos. Maybe I'll share them in the show notes.
You should share them. That's
or maybe,
great.
No, I take that back. It'll be in the group because,
that's perfect.
I'll share those photos though. They weren't, but I mean, I did everything wrong. I gave them a terrible experience when I went to edit the photos. Every single one had like a preset on it, and it was like it was totally different. All the photo colors were different. They were off. The style, the contrast, everything was totally different from each photo. And then when I delivered them the photos, they were very, they weren't happy with the session. They didn't really say anything. It was just like, yeah, we were really hoping for like better photos. Like, could you make our daughter not look sick? And I was like, ugh. And I still remember like to this day, that feeling that I had of like, maybe I should just hang this thing up, because I've had for the past few years so much fun doing this on my own. Doing it for other people obviously isn't my thing, I thought at the time, which I was clearly just very inexperienced and gave them a terrible experience. You know what I mean?
Hey,
Hey, Raymond here, and I know that diving into the world of editing can feel like navigating a maze, especially if you're just starting out. So that's why I created our exclusive collection of 52 Lightroom presets, absolutely free. While presets can dramatically enhance your photos, they're not a one-click solution. They're a starting point for your creativity and an opportunity to learn and grow in your editing skills. These presets work seamlessly with all versions of Lightroom, whether you're on a computer or using Lightroom Mobile. And they're designed to simplify your editing process, adding that professional touch to your photos while giving you the flexibility to fine-tune them to your taste. So if you're ready to take your photos to the next level, head over to freephotographypresets.com right now and get editing today.
Well, the feeling that you had is a feeling that lots of us have had. And that's why you can relate to us so well. I mean, that's why you connect with us when we go there. Like that first wedding I shot, do you remember that I saw a wedding jet and it was like movie theater dark?
Yep.
And I
yep.
did not have a flash. I didn't even know how to use a flash. And I couldn't even share the photos on the group. And then I was gone for a while.
Yeah.
And then when I finally posted again, you were like, I'm Carrie. Like I thought, yep, I thought maybe that was it. You were done. You were like, because it is discouraging, isn't it? Like,
absolutely.
So how, when you had that bad experience, and this is actually from the group Cammie's question, mm-hmm. it fits right in. So you took photos. When you were taking them, did you know that they weren't great of that two-year-old boy or girl?
It was a little girl. I knew at the time that I wasn't getting what I thought that I wanted, and it was because it was really the first time that I had like a family in front of my camera. It was the first time that I realized on a wedding day the couple, they're happy, you know, they're going to be close together, they're going to be very intimate, but when it comes to a family,
they look nice too. Yeah.
Yeah, they always look nice. This was not the case for this session. Yeah. You know, they showed up, they weren't sure of what to do, where they were supposed to go, and there was just this air of confusion. And ultimately, that was my fault. You know, I should have been better about it. But I knew that I wasn't getting the photos that I wanted. I just didn't know how to get the photos that I did want. So when I went in to go edit them, I basically tried to rely on editing as almost like a crutch and just try to make something out of nothing. And that was very unfortunate. And
not then possible. Right.
Exactly. But that's something that you have to learn from experience, you know.
Oh, sure. So how did you pick yourself up after that?
That's a good question. Really, it was, I just knew that I liked, so it's two parts, right? I knew that I really enjoyed photography and I knew that I enjoyed it with some people in front of the camera, but not other people in front of the camera, being families rather than couples. So I had to figure out kind of what it was that I wanted to focus on shooting. And the other part was that even though I was discouraged, I took a job at a factory when we first moved here to Indiana, and it still like haunts my like nightmare. It still gives me nightmares thinking about it like to this day. And having to go there every single day, I was just so unhappy with life at that time that I knew that I had to like push myself forward and just like, you know, wipe the dust off my shoulders and just like just keep pushing forward until I got somewhere that I was happy. And it took a few years, but I mean, I haven't been in that factory job in several years, and I still have friends that work there. And you know, it's funny because they still all like complain. It's like, I understand, you know, I get it, you know, it's because you're working there. And photography, here's something interesting, is that photography is something that can be a hobby. And I love this, right? You can go out and you can just shoot for fun, right? But if you wanted to turn it into a business, you don't need to have any sort of degree. You don't need to. You could just do it purely based off experience. And the other thing is that you can do it entirely by yourself, right?
Yes.
If you wanted to like make t-shirts or you know, produce albums, it's like these are things that you have to kind of rely on other people to help you out with. And there can be a lot of roadblocks. But since photography has none of that, it seems like it's a much easier career path to get into than a lot of other things. And when I saw that, I was lucky enough, right? Like I used that as a benefit to me because I didn't have to rely on anybody else to leave that job. I just had to rely on myself. Book enough weddings, make enough money, I could leave that job. And that's what I did.
But there was something that happened between that photo shoot with that 2-year-old girl that didn't go well before you were ready to leave your factory job. There was something in your photography journey that happened, right? Like, so And that's the part I think lots of us are in right now as beginners, and who we're still learning, and we're like stumbling and we're messing up. And then sometimes we do great, and then we like screw up again, or the light was like terrible, or the, so did you have that too? Was that part of your journey too?
Or
I'm guessing you didn't just go from like this one bad photo shoot with this little kid to like great weddings. Like, did you also have this kind of stumbling journey and you just had the grit to keep going, and or how did that go for you?
Yeah, no, that was it. I struggled. I continued to struggle. But I also looked to, I was also once again fortunate enough that I already knew all of my technical abilities with a camera.
Right. So
I'd been doing it for years.
You were very educated.
Right. Yeah. What I had problems with, like I knew to before a wedding, I got to get that wide shot. I got to get a close up, you know, I got to get a medium shot, and like everything else was just kind of like filler, right? I knew what shots that I needed to get in order to like the bare minimum to shoot a wedding. Right. So I just pushed forward with that. And then once I knew that I wanted to go into business for myself, I just started to try to learn the business as much as possible, and rely on my previous knowledge of shooting to get me to that point. But if I was in that, I know the question that you're asking here, and the answer is you just have to push through it. Honestly, you have to figure out what it is that you love shooting the most. Like, that's what it is. Okay. I know that you're going to have hard days. Honestly, like I still have hard days. I just shared that I had just shot a wedding this past weekend where, because of time and poor scheduling, I guess, we didn't get to shoot any portraits during the daylight. Like, I had to wait until the sun had actually went down to take those portraits of the couple. And it's like, that isn't ideal. You know what I mean? But you just have to figure those things out kind of as you go, and just make sure that that you just do your best. And if it's something that you truly enjoy, you'll keep pushing towards it.
Yeah.
Every time.
And you have the grit. You have the grit to keep going, which is a critical piece. So my giant Newfoundland dog is laying right under this chair snoring. Can you hear him snoring?
No. But I wish that I did, actually.
Actually, it's a she. I was messed up the gender of her puppy. The big dog is a she. The small dog is a he. Anyway, sorry if she's just distracting me.
No worries.
Okay, so if you had to do it all over again,
yeah,
is there something you would have done to get yourself where you are today faster than the journey you took?
Oh, absolutely. I would worry less about, one of my problems is that I feel like I should be able to do everything, and I have a really hard time asking for help. I honestly have a really hard time asking anybody for any sort of help, even if I feel like completely overwhelmed, like even to the point of like our marriage with my wife and I have a problem with asking, like, hey, you know, can you watch the kids while I, you know, do this podcast interview or something like that? And she's always happy to do so. There's just something inside of me that has a problem asking for help. And I mean, my wife, I'm probably she's the closest person to me in my life, and I still have that problem asking. So
does it feel like you should be able to do it all on your own, handle it all on your own?
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is exactly. I just feel like, maybe asking for help for me feels like a bit of a weakness, which is ridiculous. Like, I know that that's ridiculous, but I still have a hard time asking for help, as if like I don't know what it is that I'm doing. So I think that if I were to do it all over again, I would definitely look for help, and look for help in the form of working with other vendors, because being a photographer can be a lonely job. You know, I think it was Ben Hartley on the podcast who said that, like, being a photographer can be lonely. You know, you have to surround yourself with others. And I would partner myself with either more wedding vendors or planners, or I would try to create more community in my position. And ultimately, people want to work with people. People want to help out their friends. So the more friends that you make, the bigger the community that you make. Ultimately, it's going to be beneficial to not only to you, but to the other person as well. So that's hands down what I would have done differently.
And how would that have helped you? Like, that would have helped you get more clients? Like, if you had connected more with other vendors, is that what you mean? It would have helped you?
That's part of it. That's part of it. I think the other part is that since there's no need for education, right? Like, I didn't go to school for wedding photography. you kind of just make it up as you go. Like, oh, I guess I'll get this shot. I guess I'll get this shot. I don't know. Maybe I'll take this shot too. And it's not until you get like years of experience where you think or where you realize, oh, I need to get this shot at every wedding. I need to get that shot at every wedding. But because you don't go to other weddings with other wedding photographers, you don't know what you're not doing, you know? And in the beginning, I thought that image quality was everything, right? You had to have the best image quality. That's all that the clients cared about. But that's wrong. It wasn't until I found, I think it was Creative Live, and I watched a course with Scott Robert Lim where he's talking about being a $10,000 wedding photographer. And I thought, this is the exact course that I need. And I watched it, and I watched the way that he interacted with some of his clients, and I realized sometimes you just need to save face, and it's not all about the image quality. It's about the you're providing a service, you know, and it's not that product. So just being around others lets you see the other side, lets you see things that you don't know that you're missing out on. And ultimately, that can't be a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like, you can only learn from there, and, learning and networking, I think, is just the best way to grow.
Sure. And today, for those of us who are beginners right now, in 2018, that community is kind of at our fingertips in a way that it wasn't for you back then.
Yeah. Oh, 1,000%. At least it may have been there somewhere. I just didn't know where it was because, once again, I didn't want to look for help. I didn't look for photography groups online. I didn't look for anything like that. I thought, oh, I can figure this out. I know how to work a camera. I can figure everything else out. I mean, this is photography, right? If I know how to work the camera, everything else can be figured out. And that's just not the case. Sometimes you need somebody to lean on and say, I'm having a problem. I need help. I don't know what to do here. You know, what do you guys think about this editing? And it's not even so much of a, like, not being sure about yourself, right? Sometimes it's just like having that somebody else to hear their opinions on opens up your eyes and changes the way you think. I know specifically, if you look at my photos pre-interview with Luis, I always butcher his last name, Hermosillo, I believe it is. Okay, I always butcher his last name. I think it's episode 17 or something. Anyway, he said in his podcast that he shoots all of his photos at a white balance of 7,000 Kelvin, which is very warm. It's very, very warm. And I thought to myself, that's ridiculous. Some situations don't need a white balance of 7,000. But what it did do was next time I went to go edit a wedding, I just increased the white balance a little bit, maybe 500 points. And then the next time it was 1,000 points. And now I feel like my photos have a much more warm and rich tones to it because I learned something that that I just didn't think of before, that I didn't consider before talking with him. So it's not that I thought that I was doing something wrong. It's just that he was sharing his information and it changed the way that I shoot. I saw something new that I liked.
Absolutely. Well, and so I want to talk about how you began the podcast. But first, I just want to comment on, I don't know if you realize this, and maybe it's clear, completely clear to you, but your answer to that question and the community and the help that you needed, I think it's interesting and like incredibly worth noting that is exactly what you've created for all of us. Like, you chose subconsciously or consciously to give that gift to other struggling beginning photographers, because somewhere in you knew that you wished you would have that. And maybe you're saying now you still struggle with that a little bit, and we all have ways we struggle with things, but so you provided that gift for 600 plus people. I think that's beautiful.
It was totally a conscious decision, because I knew, like, what's the point of having a group if you can't help people, right? Like what would be the point of a group? For people to share their experiences. And I know from that, from my past experiences of never asking for help, that just having that is really beneficial. And I'm one of those people who can, like, I'll give you like information all day, but that doesn't mean that I will personally take it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I know that I have a problem asking for help, but I will facilitate a place where other people can ask for help. It's just the damnedest thing.
That's hilarious. Is that how the Beginner Photography Podcast was born, really? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm trying to remember back to the early days with Callum. So Callum and I met through the wedding photography subreddit on on Reddit. And Reddit, for people who don't know, is like...
I don't know what it is.
Reddit is a website where they call it the front page of the internet because you can find anything.
Oops.
There's like,
I've never heard of it, so I guess I'm not very good.
So think of it like a forum, right? So forum, forums are generally, have a very specific topic, right? Like, I was in a car forum when I was in high school and we would only talk about cars, right? It's applied specifically to our car. So
okay.
Reddit is like a forum of forums. So you can find everything from a world news forum where people share information about world news to, like anything. There's a subreddit called GATS, where like GATS, where all people do is upload photos of like their gold plated guns. Yeah, right. Exactly. So it's like, I mean, it's just some of the things are like you can find whatever it is that you're interested in. Okay.
All right, so
one of them was wedding photography, and it was a group. Okay, it was a group of people who showed up very often. So I got to know a lot of these people. I started talking to them. I became friends with them on Facebook, and then it became a Facebook group, which it still is a Facebook group, and it's probably like the most close knit group of photographers I've ever seen in my life. I just don't. Participated in it as much as I should. But anyway, when I did, that's when I met Callum. We started talking, and then we started talking more personally on, I guess it was just Facebook Messenger at the time. And he expressed that he wanted to start a podcast. And I was like, dude, me too. For no reason. Like, neither of us had any reason why. We just liked listening to podcasts. And we thought they'd be cool to have a podcast. Then this is ridiculous, but I Googled, beginner photography podcasts, and nothing came up. And I was like, And then I saw Google said, beginner photography podcast, the domain is available if you want to buy it right now for $10. And immediately I was like, bye.
Yes,
so
I will.
I bought it right then. And then that's kind of how we started the podcast. But it was very self-serving because I never had the, we didn't think that it was ever going to be monetized. It was just going to be just a way for us to talk to better photographers than us who would answer the questions that we wanted to know. But we found this problem because we weren't beginners, but we were the beginner photography podcast. So we had to ask questions that would be interesting to beginners, that would be relevant to them.
That we could relate, that we could understand even.
Right. Yes. So it was a very interesting start to the podcast. We didn't really know our way. We didn't know which questions to ask. And at some point, one of the reasons why Callum left, and honestly, I wanted to leave as well, was because we were only asking questions for beginners. So we were just kind of the talking heads, and we didn't care what it was that we were asking. And
it wasn't really inspiring you then.
Exactly. And I thought to myself, why am I doing this? Like, this is taking up so much of my time, and it's not even fun. Like, why am I doing this? So we took like 3 months off or something like that. And then that's when Callum went on his honeymoon. And I thought, I'm going to bring this back, and I'm going to do this a way that is going to be interesting to me. And, and that's what I did. And then probably a year after that is when the group started as well. And I'm so glad that I started that group. It is so much fun to be a part of.
Awesome. That's fantastic. I don't think we've heard that journey. I'm happy to hear it.
Well, it's hard for podcasts because you can't, it's hard to like see a timeline when listening to a podcast, because all you know is this week we're talking to this person.
Sure.
You don't know that the episode that you heard right before that was from 3 months before, and that we haven't uploaded anything since, and that we were like burnt out. And it wasn't like something to announce. It wasn't like, hey everybody, I'm gonna start asking questions that I want to know. It just is a slow progression over time, and it's something that you just do slowly but surely.
And so while your podcast was evolving and you were starting to make it your own and something that fed you as well as fed us, the beginners,
yes,
you were also, this was still something that was completely pro bono, is that the right term? Like,
sure.
Completely financially nothing. Like,
yes.
You were just doing it for the people.
Uh-huh.
And you're married, and at this point you have two children, or just, well, one and one, I mean, and then I think...
It's funny, we had our second the day that we recorded that interview with Luis Hermosa.
Oh, so interview number 17. So
yeah,
way back.
17. Yeah,
like,
it was a little over 2 years ago.
Okay. And so...
By the way, real quick, it was in episode 23. So episode 23.
So really early. You could put that in the show notes.
Yeah, I can absolutely put that in the show notes. Yeah, no, it was really early on.
Okay, and so what I see as I learn a little bit about your family and as I watch you from here and hear you talk every week on your podcast, I see, how long have you been married?
Oh, we've been married for 5 years.
Oh, 5 years. Oh, you guys are like still newlyweds in some ways. That's awesome. And you have two children. You have Charlie, who's like, four.
Yeah.
Okay. And is it Parker? I already asked twice.
Yeah, Parker. Yeah,
okay.
Parker.
So, I mean, I think this is, it's really neat to watch your journey, where you're going, because you're in this photography journey, growing as a photographer, as an Indianapolis wedding photographer. And, but you also became a father, and then you started a podcast, and then you're expecting another, and you have another. And so you're growing a family, which becomes increasingly more important. And more important, because that really is what matters most, right? Family first,
yes.
Always. And now you've just made an announcement that your journey is going elsewhere, right?
It's changing, yes.
Yeah, can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I've always kind of I always worry about things probably irrationally. But I've always kind of had this idea that, like, I don't want to be, now I know that there's wedding photographers who are like, I guess I've just always seen wedding photography as like a young person's game, because you have to somewhat relate to the couple. And I like to have fun with my couples and just like looking, how do I say this? I don't feel like an adult. Does that make sense? Like, I have this like imposter syndrome, right? I feel like, so I turned 30 in January, and like, it still blows my mind. I can't believe that I graduated high school 11 years ago. No, 12 years ago. Oh my goodness. Like, I can't believe that. And I don't feel like an adult, because I always remember looking up to people. I never remember like looking at younger people than me and thinking like, wow, they're doing good things. I always remember looking up to people.
Sure.
So where was I going with this? So when it came to wedding photography, I always, like, now I see wedding photographers are like, and my couples, they're like younger and younger, and I know that I can work with couples who you know, are primarily like 27 to 40, you know. I know that there's that market of wedding photographers, and I know that some of like the top wedding photographers, Vanessa Joy, Sal Sincada, Jonas Peterson, like all these photographers, even Andrew Helmich, who hosts the Photo Biz Exposed podcast, they're not in their 20s, you know, they're much older, and yet they still consistently shoot weddings all the time. And there's something in my head that just says, like, again, irrationally, that I'm not going to be able to connect with these couples, and therefore I want to find a different avenue. And part of it is that as a wedding photographer, like, you make your money by selling your time, and that's it, right? Like, that's all that I can do. I can't make any more money than the time that I put into my business. And therefore, like, I'm capped. And with, like, as you said, the kids getting older, families becoming increasingly more important, I really want to spend time with them. That's the biggest reason why I got into photography, is so that I wouldn't have to wake up at 7 a.m. every day and go to a job that I didn't like. I wanted to have that freedom to take a day off. Like, literally yesterday, the whole family took a day off, and we took Charlie to like a doctor's appointment, and then we had fun. We went to the park, we went out to eat, and like, that doesn't just happen on a random Wednesday when you have like a 9-to-5 day job, you know?
Right.
And that's the freedom that I love, and I want more of that. And it's increasingly becoming harder and harder to get. So I want to open up. I want other photographers to work with me. I still want to be a photographer, but I want other photographers to work with me so that they can continue to make money for a business. While if I need a day off, I can take a day off, and the business just doesn't completely fall apart. But I know that there's a lot of people, because I was one of these people who considered, like, I thought, I love the stability of a 9-to-5 paycheck. I love it. It was wonderful. I knew exactly how much I was getting paid.
Health insurance and all that.
Exactly. But I hate having to show up to this job every day, right? And I'm sure that maybe I could have found a job that I liked more. But I know there's a lot of people who don't want to take that risk of becoming like their own business entity, but they still want to shoot and make a living shooting. And that's what I want to offer. I want to be the person who can let somebody make a living off of photography. Like, they can shoot their own way. They can be their own shooters. But at the same time, they don't have to take any of the risk of being in business and worrying about taxes and the business falling apart, not getting leads or inquiries and booking. I want to take care of that while they can still shoot. And of course, so me as well. I want to keep shooting.
Okay, right. You get to take the jobs that you want to take, mm-hmm. but you're also going to essentially be like the manager of a number of photographers in the Indianapolis area. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or will you also be, will they have to shoot under your style? Is there going to be a brand sort of that they'll be, that'll be the Raymond Hatfield Studio brand?
Yeah. Or? So it'll definitely be a brand of photography. The way that I see it in my head is that, now, none of this is hammered out, of course, but they would shoot the gig. We'd have a studio because I believe that I would want to take on family photography as well. However, I've talked about this plenty of times before. I don't connect very well with kids. Maybe I will here in like 5 or 10 years. I don't know.
My dog sneezes.
Dog sneezes too. I get it. I think that the photography is going to be important, and if there will probably be some sort of consistent look. I will be training these photographers on what they need at a session because, like I said earlier, you don't know what you don't know. So when I first started, I just showed up and was like, oh, just shoot whatever I think is pretty. And it's like, oh, I didn't even get any close-ups of their face, like kissing or anything.
Okay. You know?
So train them on how to shoot and then train them on how to edit in a certain style. And if they want to use those photos for whatever they want to, I'm sure that they'll be able to as well.
Okay, wow. So that's really exciting. I to back up a little, I totally get what you're saying. I'm a stay-at-home mom, a homeschool mom. I have 5 kids. And my husband has said to me in the past, not about his current job, he has said, I just sold my whole day when he gets home. I sold it. Sold my whole, and he has also said, I sold my very best hours to other people. Not of his current job, but, and so, you know, instead of coming home and being with the people that he cares about most in the world, with his best time, he gives to somebody else. So that's what you want to give your best time and energy to your kids and your wife.
100%. 100%.
Some job you don't like. Let me also interject that your 30s are awesome.
I'm not unhappy. I'm not unhappy at all. I'm having a good time. I like being an adult, but it just, I don't know, something inside my brain just doesn't see it. You know, like I look at, obviously the Dodgers are in the World Series right now. I've been watching it and I see some of these players that are like, one of the hitters last night on the Red Sox was celebrating his 22nd birthday. And I looked at him and thought like, no way. I swore that like looking at him that he was older than me. Like this dude's 27. Like, I wonder, is this ever going to stop? Like, am I ever going to not have this feeling? So it's kind of got to the point where it's just like, I just need to suck it up and just live my life and not, it's just a form of comparing myself to others, you know, and I just need to stop doing that.
Well, and maybe as you step into this role of like mentor and teacher and boss, I mean, I don't know the right terms, as you open up the studio in a couple of years, right? It's a couple of years out.
It's approximately 920 days, 13 hours, right. 47 minutes, and 50 seconds.
All right. I'm going to change gears a little. Is that okay? And ask a couple more questions. What's one of the best investments you've ever made, either in money or time or energy in your photography?
Honestly, the best investment that I ever made would be spending more time with my family. And this has only started to happen very recently. As somebody who works at home, works in front of a computer, it is very easy to lose track of what it is that you're doing. And I'm very one-track minded. I have to be doing only one thing at a time. And if anything distracts me, I'm done. If one of these kids comes in and like, hey, Dad, can you help me with a peanut butter jelly sandwich? I'll go get it. I'll come back and completely forgot what it was that I was doing. And I'll spend the next hour just staring at the computer, wasted away from my family. And I made an effort, like literally within the past like 4 months, to just say, you know what, I'm going to write down each night what it is that I need to do that next day. And that's all that I'm going to do that next day. I'm going to get up. I'm going to work on those things. I'm going to get it done. And I'm going to spend the rest of the day with the family. And if I get those things done, then I know that I'm just not going to stand there in front of my computer screen. And hands down, my relationship with my kids has been better. And my relationship with my wife has been much better as well. And it's something that takes me away from photography, but it gets me even more excited. Because now when I do it with more passion because I know exactly what it is that I need to get and that I have a very finite amount of time to do so. So just putting a restriction on myself has been the best investment that I've made in myself.
I think that is beautiful.
Thank you.
I really do. And I can relate in a very small way as a stay-at-home mom who has just begun her photography journey. And I hate it when I'm editing photos or I have a whole bunch and I'm on the computer editing, and then one of my kids comes in. I have five kids, and they're like, mom, and then I have to be like, mama's working, like, you gotta go do whatever you're doing, go get it. And I see their face fall, you know, she can't help me now, or she doesn't want to help me now. That's awful.
It tears you apart. I get it.
So I love the very clear line you're drawing. Like, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to get this done. This is my, and then I'm going
to. Well, like I said earlier, one of the reasons why I wanted to go into business for myself is so that I could take off the random Tuesday, the random, you know, whatever day to spend time with my family. And I thought, like, wait a second, I'm home with my family right now. Why does it have to be like a random Wednesday? Why can't it just be today? If I spend all my time working in front of my computer, I might as well just be working a job with more consistent pay.
Right. And by the time the studio is up and running, I know we're getting off of your question topics a little bit, but by the time your studio is up and running, your kids are going to be in school, right? Full time, both of them.
That's why I'm waiting, because yeah. I still want to be with home with them right now. Honestly, I couldn't. Parker's two. I'm not going to take her to a studio. You know, like, I want to wait until they're in school so that I can work those hours and then come home.
Yep. I love it. And be present with them then.
Exactly. Exactly.
Fantastic. What advice would you give a smart and driven new photographer about how to set up out on his or her own journey?
I would legitimately say, like, don't compare yourself to anybody else and do whatever it is that you want to do. Because I know that I got into the trap there for a while of, like, how can I make the most amount of money doing this? What if I did this, it'll be better. And it was focused, like, all on the wrong reasons, right? Of things that I didn't want to do. I thought, oh, I'll also offer video. I'll do this. I'll do that. All these things. But I was taking on too much of myself, right? I couldn't handle it all. So listen to yourself, you know, and do whatever it is that you truly want to do. And don't focus just on the money. I think that you should be, and I've said this plenty of times, shoot for free as much as possible until you find out exactly what it is that you want to be shooting full time. And I'm not talking, like, you know, vacation photos or whatever. Like, that's one thing. If you want to go out and only shoot photos of clear liquids, then go out and be a master at that. And the money will follow. It will. Like, I know that that sounds like, oh, whatever, you know, if you build it, they will come. But if you become an expert in something, the money will follow, and you will be like, you will just be so much happier doing something that you love instead of following a paycheck. So go out there, but you can only do these things if you go out there and practice. There's no school for only shooting clear liquids. Like, you have to go out there and, like, give away your time at a restaurant and see that they make, or, you know, a distillery, and see that they make one cocktail, and you're like, wow, this was really cool to shoot, and, you know, I like the way that the light reflected off the brass distillery back there, and the way that it shines through. I want to do more of that. That's not something that you just, like, see in a photo and think, oh, I'm going to do that forever. That's something that you have to learn and just pick up that experience yourself. And the best way to do that is just shooting for free. So listen to yourself and don't be too proud to feel like you have to charge $1 million your first gig.
Yeah. Well, I shot for free for a whole year after listening to an episode way somewhere in the 50s or 60s of the episodes where someone spoke about just shooting for free.
Yeah.
For, I think, a year. Yeah. And her husband was like, what are you doing? And then she talked about how it paid off. And that's how I was just like, I got to build a portfolio, so I'll shoot for free for a year.
Perfect.
But, you know, the concept that you're talking about in, like, counseling lingo, that's where my degree is in, is called borrowing. Have you ever heard that term? Like, so you're saying the term borrowing means, for whatever reason, trying to do as your number one thing something that's not your own internal passion.
Gotcha.
So, like, you can do it.
Sure.
Like, if you were right now to become exclusively, well, if you were to go back to that factory job, you could do it and you could make enough money to
take care of your family.
Yeah, right. But you would be borrowing the entire time you were there. You would be, like, putting forward a part of yourself that wasn't your true self, your true passions, your true. And so I love that. Because borrowing is very exhausting. It's possible, but it's exhausting and it's not fulfilling. And so then you're not satisfied, and then you can't give your best to your kids, and you can't give your best to your wife, and you can't even do your best art, you know, as you. So I love that. I'm with you. I totally
you're right, 100%. And it sounds like you said that your husband was going through that as well, saying that he sold his day away. It's the exact same thing, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and that's the worst thing to hear. Yeah, and then he switched jobs, so that was right. And because it isn't okay to sell your day like that.
Right, I agree.
So, all right, I want to get to some of our friends' questions.
Yes.
Do you have time for that still?
Absolutely.
I know we're going on and on. Okay. All right, let's. I love that I know these people, by the way.
Isn't that the best part?
It's really fun. And I know their work, too. Like, if you name specific people, I know, like, their style. Isn't that interesting? Like, and fun? Like, oh, yeah, like, he's going to post photos about this, or he's going to post photos about that. Like, you know, and I love that we know that. We know Jason's going to do, like, St. Louis.
Yeah.
There's George is going to be in there.
And post pictures of his kid with the coolest hair in the entire world that I'm super jealous of. Yeah.
I love it. And also, Michael's going to post pictures of his kids. And Young, is that how you pronounce his name? The incredible California landscape photographer.
Yes, but I asked him that as well, and he said that we can just call him Steven.
Oh, really?
For real? Yeah, yeah. I guess his friends just call him Steven, so we can call him Steven as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shoot, I know him as, I don't know how to pronounce it. But anyway, we're moving on to two questions from the group, from the great group, the Safe and Beautiful group. So Ed asks, are there any photography trends, this is Ed Alexander, are there any photography trends that we think are cool now that we're going to look back on in 20 years and think, what were we thinking?
First of all, that's a great question from Ed. I love speaking with Ed. He's been in the group for a long time. But to answer the question, I think that is so hard to answer, to tell you the truth, because we're just going to have to find out in 20 years. You know, I mean, if you look at the people who, like, in the 80s had, like, big and wild hair, they never would have thought that hair was going to go out of style. Only time will tell. But... I don't know. But I can tell you that I think that that realism will, things that look realistic will always be in style. Some of my favorite photos of, like, so Annie Leibovitz is just this world famous photographer. She's like a celebrity photographer. She started like in the 70s shooting like the Rolling Stones. It may have been the 60s. I'm not sure. But some of her photos look as good as any photo taken today. And that is what makes her work stand out, is that it's classic. You know what I mean? You look at it and it still looks like it applies to today's world because it's not overdone. It's just simple. Worry about composition. Worry about light. Everything else will fall into place. Don't worry about, you know, don't put too much thought into your editing. We all put too much thought into our editing. And that's because we feel weird when we're there on, you know, on location, for lack of a better term. Like, oh, I didn't get that pose that I want. But if I edit it the right way, it'll be the best shot ever. None of that matters, right? None of that matters. Focus on the core of photography, the exposure triangle and composition, framing. All of those things are what will matter most. So what isn't going to last? I don't know. Smoke bombs, those weird smoke bombs, that's not going to last. Who knows if we'll even be taking photos in 20 years, you know?
Oh, yeah. We'll have holograms instead or something.
Yeah, maybe we'll just plug in, you know, something to our brains and just remember our memories, you know? I don't know. But I wish that I could give a better answer to that question. No, yeah.
I think that's a great answer. I mean, you're right. I think the raw, the real... That's always going to be timeless, right? Like the people, the way true emotion and true interactions between people.
100%. 100%.
Awesome. Mara Shack asks, is there a photography niche that you love that if you could just focus on that with no other barriers of time or family or money that you would dive into?
So I love this question for several reasons. One, it's just fun to think about an alternate universe, right? But I remember when I first, like, I'm talking high school here, like I first got my dad's like film camera. And I remember thinking of how cool it would be to do like a long-term project in the form of like following a band around, you know, from like writing a song to you know, creating that song in the studio, like to a release, to a, like a suit, like to a big like world tour. How cool that would be for like a long form project, or something like following a race car driver. You know, I mean, something from like a really bad season to a big win, something like that. I've always been fascinated by. Obviously, that's a huge investment in time, and you never know if it's actually going to pan out. Because you know, you don't know if an album is going to be a hit, or you don't know if. I guess I just like the that there was no boundaries to it. That it could be 100% interpreted on my own end, which is funny because now as I get like older. I've realized that, like, I don't really like taking pictures, like, on vacation. I just don't, because there's, like, there's no boundaries. So it's like I can just take pictures of whatever, and I might see, like, a beautiful tree, but I'd rather just remember that tree instead of, like, take a beautiful picture of a tree that's going to live on my computer. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
So I think what I heard you say is, like, you like this – you're drawn to, like, almost, like, the stories that you can bring – in photography, the journey, like you can't, I mean, there's almost like a cinematography piece there. It's like, right. It's a story. Like it, like, have you ever seen, I'm sure you've seen the photos of those three sisters that were done. So somebody, some photographer took a photo of three sisters from like early, like preteen all the way into like their 40s, one a year. Wow. Have you seen that?
No, I don't think so.
And they're standing in the same position. And like they go, you know, there's just enormous transitions. Mm-hmm. They all grow into young women. There are times where some of them, I think, were not, like there were issues between them. And that's very evident in the way they're standing and the way their eyes look. Yeah. And then they begin to like, there's times where they're pregnant. There's times where they get wrinkle, you know, they start to have wrinkles around their eyes and stuff. I mean, so that are you talking about some sort of almost like documentary journey that you would love to do?
Yeah, 100%. But I think the problem for me would be that I can't see the story looking forward. I can only see the story looking back. You know what I mean? So it's like, I love to think about how cool that would be to just like hop on a tour bus with a band, like one of my favorite bands, and just like follow them along and document everything that happens. But I think it'd be really hard for me to tell a story that I don't know the ending to. And I think that that's just the way that my brain works. Being realistic about it, it probably wouldn't work out, you know, as well as I imagine it.
That's why it's a dream.
Yeah.
Okay? That's why it was more of like, if nothing else like mattered.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Stephen Nichols, so you know him too, wanted to know what your biggest weakness starting out was, and what is your biggest weakness now?
So starting out, my biggest weakness was definitely, like I said, not asking for help. That was.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah, definitely my biggest weakness. Now I think it's that I just try to take on too much. Honestly, I on top of not asking for help, so now it's gotten just worse. So I try. What's that?
I was just gonna say it's a part of your season. There is no other season like having young children at home, and you're at home, like you're the at home dad, right?
Yeah.
And you're still young in your marriage too. So like those words resonate so strongly with me, and I like taking on too much. Yep. I hear you. Like it's sort of, I mean, it kind of continues as your kids get older and get into sports and stuff, but you're in a very unique place with like a little one who can't get dressed on her own, and she can't, you know, take a bath by herself. You know, there's
she's currently been naked all day because we've been trying to potty train her, and she's scared to poop in the potty. She's so scared to poop in the potty for the first time. So it's like, we just keep trying, and it's like, these are the things that like, I want to remember, you know what I mean? And I habitually try to take on too much, and I just need to get better about not doing that. But I think
you don't want to be not present. You don't, or worse, there but not really there.
Yeah. Oh, that's way worse. That's way worse. Because what do they call it? Like a humble excuse, right? Like, oh, I'm here in front of them, but actually I'm just on my phone. You know what I mean? Like that's.
They know it completely.
Yeah.
They're like, this person isn't with me, isn't present with me. Yeah.
I know. I am trying everything that I can to work on that always. But I think to get back to Stephen's question, like when it comes to actually like the photography side of it, I think right now I am kind of at this point to where I need to improve my photography, like my actual photography itself, because I've kind of gotten to this point to where I just try to, I know what works for me, like at a wedding. And so I just do that every single time, you know, and then I might get like one or two fun, like creative new shots, but I very rarely try something new. And that's definitely what I could be better about.
So what are you going to do to explore that?
That's a good question. For a long time, I had a problem with like looking for inspiration, because once again, I saw that almost as like a form of weakness, as if like I couldn't, like I could come up with that. Come on, like I could do that. I could assemble the people in the exact same way, and I could take that exact same photo in the same way that you could be like, I could have written "Dark Side of the Moon" by Pink Floyd. Like they're just words. I know all those words. I could have put them in that order. You know what I mean? Like it's absurd. It's absurd, but that's just my brain being a complete jerk, right? And that's what it does. So I think looking out to other photographers just to get more inspiration from them, because honestly, like we're kind of in this transformative time when it comes to photography, where we went from film from all these years where people didn't really experiment a ton because it was expensive to do so. And now people are doing like really interesting things with their cameras that I should just be exploring more of to determine whether I want to be a part of it or not.
You know, I just have to like totally off script, not like we're on script, but I would love to see you share more pictures in our group.
Because, yeah, me too. I mean, I should.
It's how we get to know each other. It really is. Now we know you as our like person who gives like really real and honest constructive criticism. Which, I mean, I've received, like, hard constructive criticism. You destroyed one of my favorite photos once in a live critique. And it was done respectfully. And I was, like, I was so excited to hear your it was the one of my son walking away with a guitar on his back down a path. Do you remember it?
Very well, yeah.
And you, I mean, you just hit it. And I'm like, oh, here he goes. He's going to critique it. And you were like, I know what you're going for. You totally missed it.
Yeah.
Your focus was off. Because I needed that. I needed that. That focus called Al Servo, or what is it, AI Servo?
Yeah, just AI Servo. Mm-hmm.
I can never tell my camera if it's AL or AI.
No, that's fine. Anyway,
but it was a very big learning experience for me because it was really hard to hear.
Yeah.
And I know I don't want to go over time. Shoot, we are going over time. It was very hard to hear, but it was extremely helpful.
Right.
Like,
good.
I mean, and so... Anyway, we know you as that, someone who gives like very helpful constructive criticism and also encourages, but it'd be fun to know your work. I mean, we don't know your work.
You know what's so funny is that like I struggle with that. I really do struggle with that because the majority of my work is paid work. You know, like I don't really right now take a lot of photos for fun. Like I'm experimenting with a lot of other things, one being video. I bought you guys have heard me talk about the GoPro on the podcast. I bought a new GoPro, and it's just I want to experiment more with that and see like what it is that I can create. But essentially what I want to do is take the what my brain always tries to do is it tries to do everything and then take out all of the work. Like how can I do everything and not work for any of it, right? So that's my problem. So I want to create a group, but I want it to be self-sufficient. Like oh, that's a horrible idea. I want to create this this photo challenge, but then not submit any photos. That's a terrible idea. So like my brain once again, and I know that it sounds like I'm coming up with all these excuses, and like I hate it, and it's something that I'm very aware of, and I'll take that seriously, and I'll definitely start posting more photos in the group. And I was really excited when you introduced the idea of a 365 project, because honestly, like for me, it made me excited for the idea of shooting more personal work. And then when I implemented the weekly challenge, I participated in like the first like three or four. And then what I did was, because I'm sure that there's an easier way of doing it, but I essentially created all the themes ahead of time, which you and I talked about this before. I created all the themes ahead of time, and then I scheduled them out within Facebook so that every Tuesday a new one like pops up.
It just pops up.
And then I have to like, oh, okay, this is the new theme of the week. Okay, I'll remember this. I never remember it. I always forget.
Oh, yeah. Because you're about, you know, because you have a million plates spinning in the air.
I'm trying to do everything without any of the effort. So that's why I schedule a lot of the stuff. And that's something that I will definitely take more of a genuine effort in posting more into the group. So I will do that.
Well, that's cool. I think it's, I mean, I don't say it because I just say it because I think if I said certain names, you would, just like we were saying earlier, you would know, like you, how would you describe, if you were to say if Carrie Norris is going to post a photo, what would it be of?
What would it be of?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it would definitely be of your children. It would probably be in like your backyard or your front yard, wherever it is. It'd be in the trees. Your kids would be playing. They'd be having fun. It's always like happy emotions. Or you would be trying something like entirely new, like senior photos and stuff, and going out and doing something. But I can still see your photos in my head.
Yes, as
you
I
can't
can
do that for me.
No, exactly. Right. I can do that for several people, but I can't. And maybe that's not what you want because you're the administrator, and I respect that. But I just want to throw that out there that as we get to know each other, I know that several people could name each other's style, but we can't really name yours.
You know what it might be? Maybe it's like this is. Now I'm just talking to a counselor here. Maybe I just have this fear of everybody seeing that I'm not good. You know what I mean? Maybe that's it. Maybe people will see my work and be like, this is garbage. And then they'll leave the group. You know what I mean? Not that that would really happen.
Except when I went on one of your links for your engagement shots, that's how I saw your photos of your clients in the rain.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
How did you do that? And then you taught us. But no, I respect that. I respect that feeling. You know why? Because I think we all feel it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like,
I'm sure.
I mean, it's, and so, anyway, I mean, whatever you...
I need to get over it. If you guys trust the group enough to share your photos, I should do the same.
It would be cool. It would help us know you better, you know.
But done. That's consider it done.
Awesome.
What would you want to see more of? Like, would you want to see more of my professional work, or would you want to see more personal work? Because that's kind of one thing I struggle with as well.
I don't know. I think I'd want to see whatever you're shooting. You know, like today I did this wedding. This week I did this wedding. This is my favorite shot of the whole thing. And then maybe the next day I went for a walk with Charlie on his bike, and here's what, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
right.
I don't know. I guess I don't want to prescribe anything like that. Just whatever you know.
That's fair.
Because, you know, we see, like, you just named exactly what I post, and we could do that for several. So, anyway, it'd be a neat way to know you better and know your work.
Okay.
I mean, because the work we've seen of yours, we know is beautiful.
Well, thank you.
And it helps us.
What's that?
I mean, when I see beautiful work, it helps me learn.
Okay, fair. I'll look at it through that lens. If what I post can help somebody, then it's worth it. So I'll do. Okay. So
cool.
Done. We'll do that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, I think. This has gone way over that.
Listen, I'm having fun. I know that we still have questions to get to from the members, so let's keep doing this.
We still have time. Okay, great, great. Well, then I can keep going because I'm having fun too. Thank you. Okay, Michael Rodriguez.
Yes.
Which, see, I can picture exactly my favorite shot he's ever posted. That one in his new house when he was making pancakes and his son is
at the... Yeah, in the background, out of focus. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that's neat to be able to go there. So he asks, who were the most influential photographers when you started, and has that list changed now?
There were no influential photographers when I first got started because I didn't think that I was going to be a photographer. All of the people who influenced me were cinematographers, like most notably Roger Deakins, who works with the Coen brothers and has shot everything from Shawshank Redemption, No Country for Old Men, Fargo. I mean, this guy is just like a master of his craft. And unfortunately, This is going to sound so stupid. Unfortunately, just won his first Oscar for Best Cinematography for, of all things, Tron. I mean, Tron was a beautiful movie, but it wasn't the assassination of Jesse James. It wasn't No Country for Old Men. But yeah. So him, who else? Robert Elswit as well, who is shot There Will Be Blood, which I still go back and forth. There Will Be Blood actually won the Oscar for Best Cinematography the year that No Country for Old Men came out. And if There Will Be Blood didn't come out, No Country for Old Men wouldn't have won, hands down. He also, Robert Elswit shot Nightcrawler. And just a whole bunch of movies, like Punch Drunk Love as well. However, I don't think that was one of his best. And then I don't want to say the newest newcomer, but the person who I think is doing the most interesting things in cinematography is a Mexican cinematographer by the name of Emmanuel Lubezki. And Emmanuel Lubezki just does the craziest things with his camera because he came up kind of in the world of digital and like pushes it to its limits, right? Awesome. So in the film days, you could only record a take that was like 8 minutes long, because that's all the film that you could fit in a can. Like, that was it. Oh. So you didn't try anything else. There was no other options. But with digital, you could shoot for 29 minutes and 59 seconds. So he would push those limits. And he shot No Country for Old Men, Children of Men, which is a movie where there are a lot of single takes, right? Like the camera just follows the main character around and then just changes its blocking. But this is also a movie where there's like explosions and like big moving parts, and to do all of these things like in one take was just like amazing to see for the first time. He also shot Gravity, which is an insane movie where you have to think about, well, where would the sun be, how are they rotating, and then how do I create light that looks like they're rotating when they're not, things like that. And then most recently The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio, with that whole bear scene and everything. Once again, I mean, just doing amazing things. But as far as like today, again, I think one of my problems is that I don't look to enough photographers to get inspiration. And I can kind of see interesting shots everywhere I look. And there's a lot of people who are, because of the beautiful thing that is the internet, that don't have a soapbox, I guess, right? Like they're not like a named photographer, they're not like a household name, and I see some of their work and I think like, wow, that is great stuff, that is great stuff. But you don't really like follow these people, you just see it every once in a while. So I think it's easier to find influences everywhere nowadays.
So when you see someone do something, okay, maybe this is just a beginner photographer way, uh-huh, or someone who's just as developing her style, as I feel like I'm finally doing, when you see something like, oh, that's great stuff that person does that make you want to try it?
1,000%.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So there's a photographer, I'm not even going to try to butcher his name. He's a French photographer, and there's like a ton of syllables in his name, and I'm just terrible with names. But he just posts work that just looks so natural, and like, I know that you can't picture that in your head. Like, what does natural look like? Okay, like, it looks like I'm looking at. But I know that you've all been in a situation where you go and you see something beautiful in front of you, like, oh, this is a beautiful shot. And then you go to take the picture, and only the background is, like, properly exposed. Or only the foreground, and everything behind it is all black. And then you take your camera down, and you're like, that's not what I see at all. Like, what's happening here?
What?
Yeah. But he has a way of working with a flash that is either very creative or extremely realistic to the eyes. And his use of composition is incredible as well. I'd love to have him on the podcast, but I don't speak French, so it isn't going to work out.
Yeah.
But when I see that work, I think of that. Like, I think of, oh, because I'll read the comments, like I'll like Facebook translate it, and I'll see oh, this is where he put the flash. I didn't even know that the shot had a flash in it. And it just gives me ideas for next time that when I go out, I can try. A lot of times I don't try it, but I should. After this podcast and talking to you, I realized that I should definitely try more things.
That's neat. Well, will you put his name in the show notes? So that
absolutely.
We can look it up?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's how I'm still learning, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we want to see more. That's another reason we want to see more of your work, because that's how we explore. and how we go online. So that's me.
You know what? I'll fill you in real quick. Another one of my problems is that I wish I had it near me. I created like this whole rig to put my GoPro like on top of my camera, but in the way that like Taylor Jackson does it, so that you can see all of his camera settings. Like you don't just see like from the top of his camera, but like it's kind of like up and back from the camera so that you can see like the lens, you can see the camera settings, just so that you can get an idea of how the shot is being created. And that's just another thing that it's like, that's a lot of work to I have like weddings and engagement sessions that I've recorded all this video. I just haven't edited it into a form to where you could see how I shoot, how I interact with people, and then how I take the photos that I take. But that's another something that like I really want to do, because I think that it would be really beneficial for you guys to see. It's just so much of an investment of time.
You know what? I'm going to butcher the name of this because I'm just not going to do it. So what do you call the part of your podcast that is supported now? Like the premiere, what do we call that?
A premium version of the podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I am very glad you're doing that. And because when I, even just talking to you right now, I mean, you are a gifted teacher. We know that. It's clear. Back when you when the group was smaller and you had more time to do the live critiques,
yeah,
which we don't have time for because you're exploring.
Actually,
lots of
I have news, but go on.
Oh good, I hope you do. That would be great because we love it.
But, okay, I'll just tell you right now. I'm bringing it back, only for the premium members. Only for like it's only for the premium members.
Awesome, I love it.
Because it's going to be in the premium Patreon. Like it's going to be in the premium membership. Because that's the only way. Like, the group has just gotten so big that there's no way that I can critique 100-plus photos at a time. Right.
At the end, for people who are new to listening, so months ago, there was a monthly live critique. There's a monthly challenge.
Yeah.
And at the end of every month, we would all post under one thread our photo for that challenge.
On Facebook.
And at the end of every month, Raymond would sit down with a block of time.
It was like 2 hours.
It was like 2 hours and go through every photo. And really, I feel like we were in a master class.
Well, good. Like
that's.
I want to keep doing it. I really do, because I really love to watch everybody's growth. I really love to see how everybody challenges themselves. And I really feel, honestly, like I've let the group down a bit by not still fostering that creative criticism myself. I want to bring that back. But obviously, like, there's a lot of people who join the group and don't stay for long. And like, that's fine. You know, if you don't find value in the podcast, that's fine. But everybody wanted to take a place in these live critiques. And it just became, I mean, like we just said, like 2+ hours. And when you got kids out there, like screaming or it's bedtime, it just isn't feasible. So I'm bringing it back, but it is going to be for the premium members of the podcast.
I just want to honor that decision. Like, I just want to say, great. Like, I think that's beautiful. I think that honors something that was very unique and beautiful about your Facebook group, but it also honors you and your time, which needs to be done. And so I think that's fantastic. I think that's a great blend. I think that's a great choice. And as I was saying, I think I see in you such a solid teacher. And even what you're saying, like this GoPro thing on the top of your camera so people can see your settings and people can understand. So I'm excited for that piece of your journey. And I'm glad that you have a premium membership, because that is a gift, a gifting of yours that you're giving to us. But it shouldn't be without compensation, I guess.
It's not even that. Like, that wasn't even the point of the premium membership. Honestly, like, what it was is that I found from interviewing members of the group who were leaving, I was asking them, like, hey, like, what could I do better for you? And basically what they were saying was that, like, well, I no longer feel like I'm a beginner. Like, I want more advanced information that understandably the Beginner Photography Podcast wasn't delivering. And I thought, well, how can I deliver more premium content that can facilitate that move into higher education? Because there's no intermediate photographer podcast, you know what I mean? So it's like, where do you go next? You go straight to like the six-figure photography podcast, and that just may be too big of a jump. So that's the point of the premium membership,
and a jump that some of us don't even want. Like, as I feel like totally comfortable in manual mode, I mean, not like I don't still have a ton to learn, because of course I do, you know I do. But I don't need to learn like what shutter speed is anymore.
Of course.
You know? And so I get that I get what you're saying, but I have no interest in any way, shape or form in some six figure photography business thing that I don't even want to go through. So we're kind of swimming in like, where do we fit though?
Exactly. Exactly. And this is just kind of my way of facilitating that, having something that isn't just about like how shutter speed affects this or whatever. Like that stuff is kind of basic. This is the getting into the more advanced topics of how to start making money with your camera, as well as even if you don't want to do that, like how to I just posted a video on how to book your first fall mini sessions. Like it's all about how to do mini sessions. There's like a swipe file where you can just copy and paste exactly what I put and make your own mini sessions. And if that's something that you want to do, then you can do that. You know what I mean? But I think that the live monthly critique, which will start in January.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. That's like the best news I've had all day. And please listen, I just want to say for the record, you like, please just continue to like rip apart my photos if necessary. Like when necessary.
Yeah,
because you do it respectfully.
I'll be honest.
You always find something good.
I always try to be honest. You know, I don't feel like there's any point in telling you that your photo is great if it's not, but I don't feel like I should tell you that this is garbage and you should give up. You know what I mean? Because I don't think that that's ever the case. Because if you were to look at my earliest photos, which I will post in the group after this interview goes live of that family session, you'll see that like if you would have got those photos, you would think this photographer needs to give up. But I didn't, and I'm very happy with the work that I'm producing now.
Yes, awesome. Work which we're going to see more of.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I was going to ask you something else. Oh, I just lost it. Okay. So I know now we're really going long, but I really wanted to ask this and I'd forgotten earlier. So you have this new journey that you're on to open a studio, a journey that's going to give you, you're going to continue with your passion and even the passion for teaching, is going to be a big part of that.
Yes.
And give you more time with your family. So where does the podcast and the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group fit into that vision?
You mean where will it fit into that vision in the future?
Does it? Like at,
oh, 100%.
I mean, it's another piece of your photography that is growing exponentially, really, right now.
I see the question that you're asking, and okay. The answer is that the podcast is part of what's pushing me towards opening a studio. Because I want to be able to shoot more educational videos and not have to rely on the photography jobs that I have to book. That's why I want other people to be shooting for the business so that they get paid as well as I get paid. But I still have now the time to shoot more educational content that will help the Beginner Photography Podcast. I have no intentions on stopping this thing. I have no intentions on leaving the group alone. However, I feel like I know that some groups like Fuel Your Photos with Corey Potter, it's all about like SEO for photographers, like on the website side of things. So not a lot of people, like it's a very small segment of photographers who are in that group, right? As you would think, it's not for all photographers. It's for photographers who want to know more about SEO and ranking better in Google. However, his group has like, I don't know, like 40,000 people in it, right? It's a ton of people. And he is in it all the time, and he tries to get to everything he can, but with that many people, there's just no way of doing so. So I know that the group is going to, I don't want it to get that big. You know what I mean? I want it to stay small and intimate like the way that it is now. And I know that there's like
each other by name, really.
Yes. I know that there's like 700 people in the group, but I only want to know like 20 or 50, you know, like I'm totally fine with that. And that's my plan for now. So yeah, the podcast is sticking around, and it's only going to get better with time. But awesome. You guys have to just be patient with me, because I always try to take on too many things at once.
Right. Well, and we're going to respect that. I mean, we're going to call you on it too, I think.
I appreciate that.
Well, because it's part of being a great dad and a great husband. And finding, I mean, it just is. So I totally respect that struggle that you're having, because if you don't struggle with it, then you don't, you see it as a need, you're struggling with it. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm happy for your wife. I'm happy for your kids that you're struggling with it.
I'm happier.
You did something about it. And yeah, and I'm happy for you. Okay, so I really am. I mean that genuinely. I don't know if that sounded weird, but I really am. Because that's what it's all about. All right, now we have a couple. We've got some off-photography topic questions. You ready?
Off-photography. I'm ready. Okay.
Okay. So Stephen Nichols wants to know, do you brew from extract or whole grain? Or do you bottle or keg?
That's a good question. So one of my problems, like I've said many times, is that I want to do everything and do as little work as possible for it, right? And that's one of my flaws. So I know that I could be doing everything better, but I always have to ask myself, is this good enough for me, right? And when it comes to brewing, what he's asking is do I use an extract or whole grain? Whole grain meaning you have 20, 30 pounds of grain, actual grains, you put them in a like a big tub, essentially like a cooler, you fill it up with warm water to extract the proteins out of these grains, siphon the liquid out, and then you take the protein that's in the in this water, which is now called wort, and then you use that for the flavor and the color of your beer. That's too much work. I that's too much grains, that's too much cleaning, that's too much everything for me. And I know that you can make a better beer that way because you have more precise control. And I'm okay with giving up a lot of that control and doing extract brewing if it means that I can, in like 2 hours, make a 5-gallon batch instead of 6 hours, you know, that it takes to extract essentially all of the proteins out of these grains. So I do extract beers, and I love to experiment with new ones, and I'm always trying to perfect certain recipes. Right now, right now in my fermentation chamber, which is at a balmy 67 degrees. It's like an Almond Joy stout. So it's going to be coconut and almond stout, which is going to be for our Thanksgiving. So it's been brewing for like 2 weeks now, or fermenting. So that'll come out on Saturday. That'll go in the bottles, and then hopefully it'll be ready in time for Thanksgiving.
How do you seal it? Like a bottle with a cap that you'll have to take off eventually?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it's just a glass bottle, and then they make, you just go to home brewing supply stores, and they have caps, which look awesome because they're opened caps, so they look like
And then you close them in.
Yep, you have like a little tool, like a crimper tool, and then it just like closes everything shut, and it seals it. It's airtight, and you just hope that you didn't put in too much sugar and that your bottles don't become bombs and just explode.
That's good. That's all. Yes, I join you in that hope.
Yeah.
And if I liked beer in any way, that Almond Joy beer would sound good. Yeah. If you made Almond Joy wine, I would drink that.
Hey, that doesn't sound very good.
All right, one last question. Is that good? Actually, I have two. Stephen Nichols wants to know music. What's on your iPod, CD player? Are you a...
I can't even read this. Hipster or audiophile?
So I read that question on Facebook, and I kind of laughed. My brain works in this way to where when I was in high school, the first iPod came out when I was in high school, and I got the third generation iPod, and that was my first iPod, and it's still like to this day, like this thing that like I covet. I look at it and I'm just like, this is just like a beautiful piece of technology. But when I first got it, it was like it had a 30 gig hard drive in it. And I thought, because we also just got like high speed internet at the time. And I was like, I wonder how fast I can fill this thing up. Like I got to put on all the music. So everything from classical music to classic rock, like Fleetwood Mac I had like every Fleetwood Mac song on my iPod, to regular rock and roll, techno, hip hop. I had everything on this iPod just because I could. Right? And
yeah, sure.
That's, all throughout high school, you just listen to music.
Right now,
you
so
know. You know. So all throughout high school, like that was my thing. I listened to music all the time. I loved metal. One of my favorite bands was Trivium. Listened to them all the time. And then, to tell you the truth, I'm not sure if
my husband would know.
He would know. But then as time went on, I went to film school, and film school was 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. I just wasn't listening to a lot of music. It was just a 1-year program. It was like an immersion program. So they tried to fit it all in there. So I didn't listen to a lot of music then. And then once I got out of film school, I was trying to like focus on life, you know, so especially now, like trying to build a business and focus on daily tasks. Whenever I listen to music, like whenever I listen to a song with lyrics, yeah. it's stuck yeah. in my head the entire day and I can't do anything else. And as somebody who like I've realized that I am like so narrowly focused, like one track minded, if I need to write show notes, if I need to write up a blog post, if I need to finish emails, I can't. I cannot do it because I'm constantly singing the lyrics to a song over and over and over and over again in my head. That I don't want to say that I've given up music, but pretty much music with words, I don't listen to it anymore. If you look at my Spotify playlist, it's all like playlists called like Intense Studying or Deep Focus or Peaceful Piano. Yeah, yeah. It's everything that like is ambient music and has no lyrics because it's the only way that I can drown out everything else and I can focus on getting work done. So as much as I love music, I mean, Fleetwood Mac just came to town like the other day and I would have killed to go to that concert. But I mean, tickets started at, I think it was like $400. And I know that like the whole next week, I wouldn't have been able to focus on anything else.
Yep. Well, I think as you journey through having fewer plates spinning in the air, I bet that you'll be able to return to that love in time. When you don't have a 2-year-old that you're potty training, you know, I mean, you're in such a place of need from your kids, and that changes. So maybe we need to ask you that question again in like 5 years.
Definitely.
And then you'll be in a different place. Okay, and my family just got home. If my husband hears, he's maybe going to take them through the front door. But if they all come trooping through in a minute, that'll be my kid. I have to ask the very last one or I'll feel bad. Michael Rodriguez, this is his second question. Did you see it? On
I'm not sure.
He says, who shot Biggie Small?
Oh, yeah. funny enough, I know the answer to this.
No.
But if I told you.
I don't understand the question.
In the mid-90s, there was a big rap battle between West Coast and East Coast rappers. There was Tupac on the West Coast, California Forever, and then there was Biggie Smalls on the East Coast, who was, like, representing New York, and they would always, like, there was two very different styles of rap music, and at the time, they were very violent, and they had no problems talking about their violence in music. And then Tupac was, you know what? I don't know who died first, if it was Tupac or Biggie Smalls, but regardless, they're both dead, right? And nobody knows who killed either of them.
Oh, yeah.
So,
apparently.
Yeah, I know the answer, but I've been sworn to secrecy, so I can't tell anybody.
Can you tell us we'll have to kill you?
No, they would have to kill me. So
I see. Yeah. They'll hunt you.
I gotta keep it hush-hush. Sorry about that, Michael. Maybe someday, if I ever make it down to Texas, I'll buy you a beer and I'll share the story with you. But until then, you're going to have to keep wondering.
Raymond, thank you so much for this. Thank you for giving me the honor of interviewing you on behalf of everyone in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group.
Let me just take a second to say how great you did. Like, I know that you were so nervous like in the beginning. But look, like we're at the end of an hour and a half long interview. So we've been on this call for almost 2 hours now, and you did wonderful. You did great. I'm really excited to share this, and I know that the members of the group are really going to enjoy this podcast, and thank you for being the voice of them. So thank you for doing this.
It was an honor and a pleasure. Really, it was. Thank you so much.
If you're still here and listening to this outro, I truly appreciate you. I know that was a very long conversation. And Carrie, if you're listening, thank you so much for coming on and being a gracious host. I wish that it was a little bit less all about me and more about the group. I feel I felt awkward at times, which is interesting because now I guess I have an idea of what it feels like to be on the other end of the podcast mic. But regardless, Carrie, I truly do appreciate you coming on, taking a genuine interest and asking questions and being the representative for the group. So if you're listening and you're in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group, I just want to take a moment and just say thank you to you. That's it. I honestly wouldn't be doing what it is that I'm doing today if it wasn't for you being in the group. So thank you. That's all. That's all that I have to say. I'm going to keep this short because, again, I know that this interview is almost going on 2 hours. Like, we're close to the two-hour mark. It probably took you a few days to listen to this. So, guys, until next week, I want you to get out there. I want you to shoot. I want you to know that you're going to make mistakes and that it's going to be okay, all right? As long as you just keep going and you default to doing something that you love and you don't do it purely, you know, out of this this mindset of being the best, being you know, this untouchable artist, or doing it purely for a profit, it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be an enjoyable hobby or business. It's going to be a job, and it's really going to get to you. So go out there, really enjoy yourself, okay? Have fun, and most importantly, stay safe, because, you know, no photo is worth dying for, okay? Guys, that's it for this week. I will see you again next week. I love you all.
If you enjoy today's podcast, please leave us a review in iTunes or your favorite podcast player. And continue the conversation with Raymond and other listeners of the podcast by joining the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group today. Thank you. We'll see you again next week.